SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Wednesday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. We are together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time live right here on the grid. Make sure you go to sportsgrid.com/watch as well to find your favorite destination and consume everything you will see here on the Spiz Grizz. DRS, what a Wednesday we have in store. College basketball in its opening week of this year. The College Football Playoff Selection Committee unveils their second set of rankings. Not much, if anything, really changed towards the top. We'll go around the world of the National Football League and the NBA back in action on this Wednesday as well. Donnie, 3 hours together up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
A lot to get you set for this sporting week, which does include the NBA returning back in full force tonight. And yes, we will talk some college football a little bit later in the show. Some big weekend matchups as the season winds down, the action on the gridiron heats up, and we got you covered.
Donnie, that's the beautiful thing about November, the old cachet in college football. You are remembered for what you do in November, and that includes the CFP selection committee. Donnie, proving last night that this meeting could have been an email. The top eight in the second set of the CFP rankings, exactly the same as the first CFP rankings. Ohio State remains the number one team in the country, followed by Georgia, Michigan, Florida State, Washington, Oregon, Texas, Alabama. Yes, Donnie, the exact same top eight last week as it was this week following last night's unveiling of this second set of the CFP poll. Donnie, what's good with that? You say it's a television program all to build up the drama. What was the CFP committee doing last night?
Look, it's a lot of times when you start a new show, maybe a new podcast, you say you get a new camera downstairs in the basement and you say, you know what? I'm going to go live and have a lot of shows and a lot of fun. You do one show and you go, man, that's really boring. Why don't we just mail it in for the next couple shows? And then sooner or later, you don't do it again. Now, granted, being a little bit facetious at that point, but what's not to like? They loved Ohio State's unbelievably impressive win over a lowly Rutgers team. They absolutely loved Florida State on the road, showing that moxie, beating a terrible Pitt program. But also, I think this is maybe heating up that West Coast bias that we love here. The Washington Huskies sit there at five going like, what do we got to do? Where do we have to go? I have maybe the best football player in the country, quarterback. We're unbeaten. We have a big-time victory over Oregon. Yeah. Why are we on the outside looking in? So there's your talking point.
Listen, Donnie, for those people that say the college football playoff rankings up until that final one on the Sunday following conference championship Saturday don't mean anything, well, maybe you're in for something this upcoming Saturday when we have three top 15 tilts that will surely alter the CFP rankings entering the second full week of November. Let's welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience, DRS. They've been out there. They've been waiting. Time to bring them into the fold here on this Wednesday on TEL, Sirius XM, Channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He is Donnie. I am Ben. This is the early line. So the college football playoff rankings, set number two, released last night. On night number two, Donnie, of the 2023-24 college basketball season. Only two top 25 teams in action on Tuesday, including 20th ranked Baylor in Sanford Stadium. Not Sanford Stadium, but the Pentagon, Sanford Pentagon in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Baylor and Auburn, Donnie, in a great setting of college hoops. The Baylor Bears, despite being the ranked side, actually closes the slight money line underdog, but they rally, Donnie, in that second half. They outscore Auburn by 15 points in those final 20 minutes to win 88-82, again outright as a slight point and a half underdog.
Yeah, by the way, had to lead the entire first half and most of the second half as well to about 5 minutes ago in that game where Baylor finally took control. But, oh, no, Auburn can't make the NCAA, you know, March Madness. Now, no, that's not the case. You're measuring yourself early. You have that silly season. As I talk about, you're playing in the Pentagon, as Ben just said up here. These are good early season matches to get a test on where your program is at and where you need to go. That's a nice win for Baylor there, top 25. And also, as I said, the Big 12 is nasty, man. That's one for the Big 12 already.
Jacoby Walter, the freshman for the Baylor Bears, 28 points in his collegiate debut, the most ever scored by a freshman for Baylor in their college debut. Not necessarily a debut last night, DRS, but a return to New York City and a return to the Big East. Rick Pitino leads St. John's into a new era and leads the Red Storm to a victory in their opening game of the year, 90-74 over Stony Brook. Donnie, I'm pretty sure the line closed at 16.5 in favor of the Johnnies, so the hook giveth and it taketh, but win number one for Pitino in this new era of St. John's men's basketball.
Yeah, good start for them. And, of course, Soriano had 22 points in that victory. A nice way to get your season started, as most programs like to open at home against maybe a softer schedule here, which they did. You get the good vibes going in the building, but a good start there for Rick Pitino. At home, the Johnnies in the Big East. We'll see if they'll be a player this year.
We will talk about Rick Pitino and the return, a new era in the Big East for sure. Now, NFL news and notes as the rest of the league gets ready to get back into practice on this Wednesday. Donnie, it is official. The Tennessee Titans have officially named Will Levis their starter for the remainder of this season. Has nothing to do with the injury to Ryan Tannehill's ankle. Will Levis is the guy now in Nashville for the rest of 2023.
And rightfully so, it should be. It's time to move on here. New regime change, not necessarily with the GM, who's new, Rand Carthon, but also Vrabel. He'll be around, but it's time to go into the new millennium, as I like to say, Ben, with your offense. Get a quarterback that can chuck it downfield, that's willing to take some risks, and is an athlete in the pocket. I like this move for the Tennessee Titans. Find out what you have in Will Levis. We got half a season to do that.
And that is what they are doing here down the home stretch. Maybe the postseason is an afterthought, but the future for the Titans is right here and now with Will Levis. Sometimes, Donnie, though, you got to go back. You got to go back to the era of when Carson Wentz was a starting quarterback in the National Football League to try to find success once again. Carson Wentz signing with the LA Rams yesterday. The Rams, Super Bowl 58 champions, Donnie Wrightside, book it right now.
How about that? We back up, as we like to say, because Carson Wentz is back in the NFL. You know, it's just sort of a little soft spot in my heart for Carson Wentz being an Eagles fan, absolutely helping them win a Super Bowl championship despite blowing his knee out against what team? Yeah, the Los Angeles Rams. I think it's a soft landing spot for him, which is great, and there was so much talk out there. Well, why didn't teams like the Jets look at Carson Wentz? Trust me, Nathaniel Hackett and that offensive line would have killed Carson Wentz. This is a nice spot for him to be. We also saw Baker Mayfield go out to the Rams, resurrect his career a little bit. We're not expecting to get back to the player he was in 2017, but how about just being a backup in the NFL? He can probably do that.
Not a great sign for Matthew Stafford and that thumb injury on his right throwing hand, but Carson Wentz does return to the place against LA in 2017, Donnie, on the MVP season that he tore his ACL and set his career into a tailspin. Martavis Bryant, talk about a throwback from the past, Donnie, hasn't played in the National Football League since 2018 with the Oakland Raiders, the Dallas Cowboys, a reclamation project, signing Bryant, DRS, and the scoop? Shams Charania. Yeah, the NBA insider breaking some NFL news. And then Donnie, the round things out here in the 7-7, winless no longer. The San Jose Sharks pick up their first victory of the year in game number 12.
Yeah, you knew the Flyers were probably going to end up losing that game, and they did. Congratulations to the Sharks. But how about Martavis Bryant back in the league? You lost to the Eagles, and that's what you came up with?
That's pretty good. College basketball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to get into the zone, live right here on this Wednesday on the early line on Sports Grid. I am Ben. He is Donnie. Night number two of the 2023-24 college basketball season. Donnie, 184 D1 men's college hoops games on Monday to tip off this new year. Not nearly as many yesterday, but still a plentiful handful of options and only two top 25 teams into the fold. We talked about out of the Samford Pentagon in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, a great venue for college basketball and a neutral site for Auburn and Baylor to start off their year. The Tigers and the Bears, oh my. Well, it goes the way of Baylor, who, Donnie, respond in a big way in the second half. They were down by 9 at the break. They outscore the Auburn Tigers by 15 in those final 20 minutes to win by 6, 88-82. Baylor enters this year ranked 20th in the country, Donnie, but they actually closed as the point-and-a-half underdog and on that money line, of course, as well against Auburn. So Scott Drew's team wins outright as a dog on night number one of their season.
Yeah, it just comes down to some simple things. And also, we talk about this game being played on a neutral court. Both of these teams shot 47% from three-point range, which is great because typically you would see a slow start to the season from three-point range, guys just getting the feel for the game back, and also not playing in your home environments here. So that was good to see. But also, just breaking the game down, a six-point win here by Baylor. Take a look at this. Auburn made 17 free throw shots. Flip it down to Baylor. They made 27 free throw shots. That's the difference in the ballgame right there. And my goodness, like, if sometimes we talk about it too, like the NHL season, you know, hey, we're not going to have the clutch and grab. We're going to call a lot of penalties, therefore more power plays to start the season than the end. The NFL always likes to step it up in the first week or two. We're really going to officiate, illegal contact this year and throw double the amount of flags. 32 personal fouls in that game on Auburn, which include Broome, who actually had 6 personal fouls in that basketball game. I'm assuming he fouled out and then let the refs know exactly what he thought and probably got teed up. I don't know.
Had to be.
That's ridiculous.
That's so good, DRS. You're only allowed 5 personal fouls before you are thrown out of the game and fouled out. So to get a 6th, that's a record-breaking opportunity for Auburn's Broome. But Donnie, on the other side for Baylor, 2 key acquisitions. 1, a freshman in Jacoby Walter. Again, like we said at the start of the show, 28 points, a Baylor program record in a freshman's debut. And Ray J. Dennis, Donnie, a highly sought-after transfer this offseason from Toledo. He was one of the guys in the mid-major conference making that leap to high-major college basketball that was highly coveted around the transfer portal. Ends up at Baylor, second most points for the Bears last night with 15. So those are the new acquisitions. But Johnny, here is a name that you are going to hear a lot and you have already heard a lot in college basketball. JTT, Jonathan Chamwa-Chachua, getting close to Perry Ellis-type levels in the Big 12, Donnie. I believe this is year number 6 for Chamwa-Chachua as a part of Baylor. He'll provide that veteran experience. Only 7 minutes, though, last night. Donnie, you made this point. How about the new look Big 12, right? Houston enters the fold in this conference, along with the newcomers, of course, like BYU, Cincinnati, and UCF. But Houston is a powerhouse in college basketball, alongside Baylor, who's 20th in the country, the number one team in the preseason. That's Kansas. Texas is a top 10 team. They get Max Asemus, a name many people know from his days at Oral Roberts, lighting things up in the NCAA tournament. The Big 12, Donnie, is absolutely stacked and loaded once again as a powerhouse at the high major level in college basketball.
And here's what's going to happen every single year. You have a conference this deep here. There's going to be teams that are going to be able to get into the NCAA tournament with roughly under 500 conference records because they're going to cannibalize each other. But also remember, you're going to get some of those teams make those 9, 10, and 11 seeds here, and they're going to be the ones that go, now hold on. We got a 2 seed and we got to face X team from the Big 12 here. That's not fair. They're going to flood the field with a ton of value late with those seeding processes here by the NCAA committee. It'll be fun to watch with the Big 12 every single year. Every night is a must-win situation for those guys, it feels like.
Kansas is the favorite entering the year at plus 175. I've got my money already on the Longhorns, Donnie, out of Austin at plus 750. Anyway, as we keep it rolling through college basketball, if the Big 12 is going to be great, so too is the Big East. And Creighton has one of the best prices to win a national championship this year at 20-1 alongside Marquette, the reigning Big East regular season and tourney champs. Creighton in action in downtown Omaha to open up its year last night. How about 105 points, Donnie, right side, winning by 51 over Florida A&M. Yes, I know it is FAMU. I get all of that. But Creighton was a 35.5 point favorite, Donnie, and still covers on that margin by about 16 points.
Back in the early 1980s, Ben, they put in a thing. It's called the three-point shot. It's supposed to level the playing field going up against bigger opponents and a chance for you to get back into the game a little bit sooner here. Well, we're not in the new, you know, series of, yes, analytics here. Maybe they haven't found their way to Florida A&M. You get beat by 50 and you only shot 7 three-point shots total in that ball game. You should have had 7 alone in the final minute of that basketball game, but it's always anticipated here. Some of these teams are going to line up against top 10 opponents and be sacrificial lambs for the extra paycheck and get it. And also, some of the kids get that environment. It's like, hey, you know what? I got to play a top 10 team on the road. It's a lot of fun here, and so be it at that point. But Creighton's going to be a player this year. They shot 18 for 38 from three-point range. And I don't know, maybe it's something in the water, Ben. What does that equate to? 47%. The same thing we just talked about, Auburn and also Baylor. They're shooting the exact same number. 105 for the Blue Jays. That offense is ready for this season.
The Creighton Blue Jays have never reached a Final Four. That is Greg McDermott's charge in downtown Omaha. Trey Alexander, Stephen Ashworth leading the way last night. Ashworth, the transfer from Utah State, a sharp shooter, 17 points, 5 of 7 from deep in his new home at the CHI Health Center in downtown Omaha. So Creighton, a co-favorite to win the Big East entering this year, plus 270 alongside the reigning champs. That would be the Golden Eagles under Shaka Smart at Marquette. UConn, the reigning national champions, Donnie, not even favored to win their own conference at 3-1. Villanova should be better than they were in year number one under Kyle Neptune. But Donnie, let's talk some Johnny's basketball. 12-1 for St. John's, the fifth best price to win the Big East. Why is there enthusiasm? Why is there optimism? One man and one man only. His name, Rick Pitino. Back in the Big East, Donnie, after 10 years in this conference, 2 very early on with Providence, and then, of course, 8 with Louisville before the Cardinals made the move to the ACC. And on night number 1 up at Carneseca Arena in Queens, the home of New York City, St. John's victorious by 16, Donnie, 90-74 to start the Pitino era 1-0.
Jamaica Queens, the epicenter of the everything going on in New York City,
yeah,
of course.
There.
And also, good debut there for Rick Pitino. He's going to invigorate some life into that program. It wasn't, actually, it was really long ago when Carneseca was in there, absolutely tearing it up, and the Big East was at the forefront. But also, just a side point, shout out to the Big East here. Everybody was being moved around because of what your football teams do. To have a shining Power 5 conference, I guess, could be
no
Power
doubt.
6, I guess, you call the Big East at this point. They are sensational in basketball, and they stuck it out right here. Creighton, Marquette, UConn, Villanova, St. John, Xavier, Providence, Georgetown, Butler, outside of like DePaul, right? Everybody else seems like it's a legitimate threat there in that conference or a name. It's good stuff here for the Big East moving forward. But Rick Pitino being back in the city here and being on top, hopefully, that's good stuff for college basketball, and the Big East can't get enough of that.
Joel Soriano, who is going to lead the way for the Red Storm down low, 22 points, 11 boards, 3 blocks on night number 1. How about Ed Cooley and the Hoyas of Georgetown, a 94-57 victory over Lemoyne in night number 1 for Cooley in his new home. Of course, he knows the Big East was at Providence just last year. Donnie, maybe with the Big Ten struggling on the opening week, that's a good thing for the conference that has struggled late in the year in March. Indiana survives yesterday at home as a double-digit favorite against Florida Gulf Coast inside Assembly Hall, 69-63. Donnie, should the Big Ten be worried?
The Big Ten always should be worried here because nobody wants to see anybody from the Big Ten make the conference finals, make the big tournament at the end of the year, even football. Throw the Big Ten out of college sports. Throw them now.
Michigan basketball, 99-74 yesterday as well. More TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are at the halfway point of the 2023 NFL season after week number 9. Here we are as Wednesday picks up on the early line and we get ready for weekend number 10 of this National Football League regular season. Of course, 18 weeks now in the season in the NFL, week 9 in the books, week 10 on the horizon. Donnie, right side, that's the halfway point of this 2023 NFL campaign. Donnie, how do you feel about where we stand right now at the midway point of this NFL year?
I'm feeling good about that. Why? Because my Philadelphia Eagles have the best record overall. So maybe there is going to be an unbelievable rematch in 2 weeks that could decide supremacy early on, at least the midway point here in the NFL between the Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. But I'm happy all the way around. The only thing that is a little bit, you know, that we haven't seen in the past years, it feels like there's really the upper echelon of the NFL, and then there's a lot of bottom feeders. But we've always had bottom feeders, Ben, because somebody's got to lose football games, right? But it just feels like the quality of competition is a little bit lower now because so many new quarterbacks, including rookies, are getting injected into football games. We love scoring. We like pretty plays. We like wide receivers over 100 yards and quarterbacks throwing 4 touchdown passes. The guys that are used to that, right? Patrick Mahomes, not having a great statistical year. Jalen Hurts, he's having a good year, but he's not blowing anything away. Lamar Jackson is up there in the MVP race, but he doesn't have great statistics. So it almost seems like it's a downgrade at the quarterback position, but by default, because so many new kids are playing and also so many veterans are getting hurt.
Donnie, maybe that has to do with the large amount of unders we have seen this year. If you blind bet the under on every game in the opening half of this 2023 NFL season, I believe you would be hitting around a clip of 60 or 61%. That is how much we have seen scoring be at a premium here in the opening half of this 2023 NFL campaign. All right, Donnie, let's look at the season awards. We're going to give you a pick six for our midseason awards at this point. Now, Donnie, when I looked at this and our producer, John James, put it in, I took it as a task of one of two things. Who do I think has earned it in the opening half, but still using the odds that we do here on the Spiz Grizz Network and, of course, on the early line to project out the rest of the season? Because, frankly, Donnie, the front runners for the MVP right now in the odds market haven't necessarily blown anybody away from their statistical performances through the first 9 weeks of this season. So I think it's a deserving recognition of the first half with a little bit of a mix, Donnie, of still projecting out the remaining 9 weeks and into the postseason.
Yeah, because I know we're going to have this conversation quite a few times here throughout the rest of the season. I tried to do it as almost like the MVP pick six of where you figure it is now, as opposed to trying to project that a lot. Now, granted, we're picking good football players, because otherwise you'd be like, this guy got hurt and's down for the year. He's my MVP. Well, we know that's not going to happen at that point here. So I was trying to use it as a barometer halfway through the season. If the season ended now, Donnie, what would your picks be? That's the way I went with it here, to try to sort of say, you know what? We know that maybe some of these guys aren't going to work out, but if it was ended today, you know what? This guy probably had a legitimate chance to win. That's the way I took it.
All right, Donnie, let's break this down then. Let's start with your MVP of the first half. Who would that most valuable player be?
It's Christian McCaffrey for me. You're crazy, Donnie. That's a running back. You can't do that. But you know why I'm picking Christian McCaffrey here? Is the streak is still alive. And we're not projecting that the streak is going to continue right through the end of the season. That's why he's my MVP. But it's the same thing. Patrick Mahomes, good football player, great team. Is he blowing anybody away? No. Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Tua, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Trevor Lawrence. See where I'm getting at here? Nobody is running away with it, which is great, because typically this time of year we go, man, Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, looks like they're going to throw for 60 touchdown passes. As long as he doesn't get hurt, you shut it down. I legitimately believe there's 10 players in the NFL right now that can win an MVP. That's usually never the case. It's usually just a handful of guys, two or three guys, and they'll duke it out over the final parts of the season. But again, the reason why I went Christian McCaffrey is not so much to say I think he can win it long term, because some of these quarterbacks are going to turn up. Some of these football teams are going to have fantastic records, and the quarterback is going to get most of that praise. But I look at Christian McCaffrey's season on the whole so far. He has been awesome. The record streak is still underway. He's not the reason they're losing football games. He's the reason why they're being competitive in some of those football games, because why? He scores every single game. So I went 29-1 right now, Christian McCaffrey, to win the MVP. I just look at it saying, if you're going to have a chance to break records, I'm going to give you a nod above the field here. Those quarterbacks haven't played up to task just yet. There's still a half a season to go, but I went McCaffrey here.
Yeah, DRS, I think it's hard to fault that based on what we have seen so far here in the first half of the season. Of course, we have seen 10 consecutive quarterbacks win the NFL MVP award. The last non-quarterback, though, Adrian Peterson, back in 2012 with the Minnesota Vikings. If you do historically significant things from that stat perspective, your MVP candidacy certainly is on the up and up. I agree with the idea that so far, because none of the quarterbacks are on a historical historic track or pace right now. Run CMC should be a part of the conversation. But Donnie, the MVP, for better or worse, for fair or unfair, has become a quarterback award. The most valuable position on the football field is what the voters deem as the most valuable player. So I went with Jalen Hurts, the quarterback of the best team in the National Football League in this first half for the 8-1 Philadelphia Eagles. The stats, Donnie, very much in line with Patrick Mahomes and Tua Tagovailoa. Hurts checks in the top five in terms of passing yards. Last week against the Cowboys was the first time in five games Jalen Hurts had not thrown for more than 270. You also add in the rushing component, Donnie, more than 300 yards on the ground already, seven rushing scores. He's at the halfway point of his season. Last year, Donnie, he had 13 rushing touchdowns. That was the second most ever by a quarterback in a single season in NFL history, only behind Cam Newton in the 14 that he had. He is on pace, Donnie, to tie that record with seven through his first half, maybe even break it. That's a historic mark. And with all the conversation about the tush push and the brotherly shove, maybe that narrative builds up for Jalen Hurts as well. So not only, Donnie, do I think at the quarterback position, he probably has the best argument at the moment, I also do believe that at the end of the year, Jalen Hurts' price is only going to grow shorter and shorter as the Eagles stay in front in the NFC and Hurts continues to pad the stats.
Yeah, and he's a little bit banged up right now, but take a look at his passer rating with that banged up knee. 109.5, 135.7, and 130.2 in the last three games here. And also, I like where your head is at in this moment, too, because Jalen Hurts has the best record in the NFL here with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's playing solid football. I know a lot of people say, well, Donnie turns the football over a little bit too much. Boomer Buster, 8-1. They did lose one football game because he threw a terrible interception. But also, if you're looking at it from a midway point where it's like, okay, he's having a good season here. Well, let's see what he can do in the second half. Trust me, if he runs this gauntlet, which started with the Dallas Cowboys and ends with the Dallas Cowboys in a couple weeks, and let's just say they have a winning record and they still have the best record overall in the NFL, and he outduels players with the likes of Josh Allen, which he's going to play coming up, as well as Brock Purdy and also Christian McCaffrey, and oh yeah, in 2 weeks coming off the bye, going to face Patrick Mahomes. The sky is the limit. Yeah. If the Eagles run through this gauntlet with flying colors, he might just run away with that as long as he doesn't get injured and misses three or four games. Keep in mind last year too, Jalen Hurts with that injury, he doesn't get injured. He's probably the MVP of the NFL last year. So there is a pedigree, and sometimes we always take a look at, you know, in the NFL, hey, I didn't make the All-Pro team. You actually have to have like two or three All-Pro seasons before they give you the recognition of actually being an All-Pro, just the way it works. So Jalen Hurts already set the precedent last year. I can be at an MVP level. This year, maybe he finishes that off.
Yeah, completely agree, Donnie. And I think it's a great point because when we see the Birds emerge out of their bye week this weekend, starting next week, of course, it is the second game of the five-game gauntlet that began last weekend at home against the Cowboys. It's Monday night against the Chiefs. It's hosting the Buffalo Bills and the San Francisco 49ers. And then, of course, a visit to Dallas. If Jalen Hurts is great in that stretch, if the Eagles take three of four or maybe even all four, we might see a minus money price in front of Jalen Hurts' number to win the most valuable player award here in not all that long of a time. Donnie, we flip-flop. So you have Christian McCaffrey winning the MVP. I have Jalen Hurts winning the MVP. I have Run CMC winning the Offensive Player of the Year. You have Jalen Hurts winning the Offensive Player of the Year. Donnie, I don't know if we need to expand so much because I think we both broke down why we like those guys for the respective awards. I appreciate the flip-flop here, though.
Yes, no, and it makes some sense with the way we're going, but also, isn't it kind of stupid, the NFL? It's like, hey, the MVP, the best player in the league is a quarterback. Oh, well, then he automatically wins the, you know, Offensive Player of the Year. It doesn't work that way, which is kind of wild when you actually think about it. Hey, who was the best offensive player? It was Jalen Hurts. Oh, then he's the MVP. No, another quarterback got it. Wait, that doesn't make some sense, guys. It's just the way it works out the NFL, but we are flip-flop there accordingly. Your side is probably more correct than mine for predicting a running back that's going to win the MVP. I'm just going to take a shot here at a long price point here, but either way, they both make sense.
The last time a quarterback won Offensive Player of the Year was when Patrick Mahomes also won the MVP award in 2018 because he was breaking marks with more than 50 touchdown passes. That's what you need for a quarterback now because, Donnie, they give the NFL MVP to the QB. They kind of keep the Offensive Player of the Year award for the non-quarterback best offensive player. We've seen Cooper Kupp win it, Justin Jefferson a year ago, so on and so forth. All right, Defensive Player of the Year, Donnie, and just for to let the people know on the other side of the break, we'll continue going through this pick six here at the halfway point of the NFL season. Donnie, who is your DPOY in the first half of 2023?
There's a couple of really good defensive football players up there, but I'm going to go Myles Garrett here for the Cleveland Browns in particular. They do a lot of winning with backup quarterbacks here. Now, granted, some of the final scores, hey, Donnie, that's not a top-ranked defense here. How could you go with that? Myles Garrett has been absolutely sensational here, 9.5 sacks on the season. And also, if the Cleveland Browns are going to win that division, I don't think it's through the arm of Deshaun Watson or Jerome Ford on the ground. It's through that defensive line for Cleveland. And if they do win that division, that defense is going to get all the credit there, and I'll take the best player on that defense. And Myles Garrett, a worthy MVP opponent.
No doubt about it. Third best scoring defense in the NFL. That's where the Browns are right now. They take on the best scoring defense in the National Football League, the Ravens, this upcoming Sunday in Baltimore. It's why the total is 38.5. I'm also going to focus on a DPOY from the AFC North. We'll talk about TJ Watt on the other side of the break and through the rest of our midseason award lists up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue our midseason pick six live right here on the Early Line on this Wednesday, week number 9, weeks 1 through 9, better said, done in the National Football League with weeks 10 through 18 in the conclusion of the regular season in 2023 on the horizon. So, Donnie, we were at Defensive Player of the Year. You went with Myles Garrett, who is currently a co-favorite at plus 190 to win this award. I could not agree more, Donnie. At first, I had Myles Garrett, and then I was like, you know what? Let me change it up just a little bit. So I went with the reigning Defensive Player of the Year, TJ Watt, who I don't think is going to win this award, mind you. We both had Micah Parsons, I'm pretty sure, Donnie, before the year got underway. He is also that co-favorite alongside Garrett. But I just wanted to take a moment to speak on the stats that TJ Watt is putting up this year for a Steelers defense that is the only reason they have won 5 games. 9.5 sacks, tied for second most in the NFL with Garrett and Max Crosby. He has 8 tackles for loss, again, the same amount as Myles Garrett. But, Donnie, he has 6 passes defended. That means PBUs, pass breakups. TJ Watt has an interception, and he is forced 2 fumbles and recovered 3 more. He also took back one of the fumbles that he recovered for a touchdown in the win over the Browns week number 2 on that Monday night doubleheader. Donnie, I just wanted to highlight TJ Watt because when you look at the stats on whatever site you use to stay up to date with the data around the National Football League, TJ Watt literally checks every single box. Myles Garrett makes a ton of sense. Cleveland, the third best scoring defense in the NFL. Micah Parsons, I believe, will be there at the end of this year. An absolute game wrecker. And TJ Watt, Donnie, some voter fatigue might keep him from winning his second consecutive Defensive Player of the Year award. But the stats this year for Watt are just insane once again.
Yeah, and they're going to move to 6-3 this week. I do believe they're going to win that football game. And also the catalyst there is always the defense for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And also getting sacks, getting turnovers, getting touchdowns in the biggest moments here. That's what TJ Watt does. So certainly you can pencil him in for 15-plus sacks on this season. That's going to give you a run for Defensive Player of the Year in any time markets here, Ben.
No doubt about it, DRS. And when you look at what TJ Watt has done this year, let's add in the fact he recorded a sack of Will Levis on Thursday night of this past week without wearing his helmet. Player safety be damned. I'm just kidding. We always look out for the player safety in the National Football League. All right, Donnie, let's run it through here. The rest of our pick six. Donnie, there's only one answer. There's literally only one answer to Offensive Rookie of the Year, and it's CJ Stroud.
It really is C.J. Stroud. And by the way, the Houston Texans in their past have had number one overall selections at quarterback. And C.J. Stroud wasn't number one overall. He ended up being number 2. But David Carr, David, who's that? Yeah, Derek Carr's brother. Yeah, he's actually a very good quarterback or used to be in the NFL. He got shell-shocked right away being a Houston Texans quarterback. Why? They didn't protect him. He said, why would you be bringing this up here? Look at the first 2 games C.J. Stroud played in his rookie season. He got sacked 11 times combined in those first 2 ball games. Oh, no, I'm not going to be able to read through my progressions. My team said set me up to fail. The offensive line's bad. Not enough weapons at wide receiver. And my goodness, after those first two games, he hit the gas pedal, which included last week's culmination of 5 touchdown passes, 470 yards passing, and my goodness, a passer rating of a 147 in that game. He is far and away the best rookie so far here. I'm ultra impressed because sometimes quarterbacks come into really good situations as young players. He didn't. He came in as, oh, can he perform? He's from Ohio State. Bad football team. I wonder if this pick's going to work out. Hey. My goodness, right now, he's already, like, we're already getting that jacket ready for the Hall of Fame in anticipation of what he's going to do, Ben, when he has really good weapons around him. Love what CJ Stroud's done.
Donnie, they are certainly already chiseling C.J. Into the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year Award, a minus 550 favorite. I'm going to use this platform to make a point, Donnie, on a conversation we had yesterday looking at the MVP award odds and how we set up this year's pick six for the midseason awards as we see them. Donnie, I don't think C.J. Stroud is going to win the National Football League MVP. But I do believe he should be in consideration. He's 130-1 to win the MVP award at this moment. But look at the stats, and we have the CJ Stroud season stats board here that will echo this point. 2,270 yards, 14 touchdown passes, only one interception. The least amount of INTs thrown around the National Football League for a starting quarterback who has started multiple games for his organization this year. And Donnie, we made this point. Nobody in the MVP race, not Tua, not Mahomes, not Hurts, not Josh Allen, not Lamar Jackson, not even Joe Burrow, at this point have put up overwhelming statistical numbers. CJ Stroud, the seventh most passing yards of any quarterback in the National Football League. And again, Donnie, I don't believe he is going to win this award, but at 130-1, is it worth a long shot sprinkle? Maybe, just maybe. Because, Donnie, if he was not a rookie, if C.J. Stroud was in his third year in the National Football League, right now he still probably would not be the favorite in front of Tua or Mahomes or Hurts. But I do believe 130-1 would look a lot closer to 30-1 to win the NFL MVP award, probably with one of the 10 best prices on the board.
Yeah, household name. That's what we're talking about here. We're still waiting. Oh, rookie's going to hit that rookie wall coming up soon here. Well, we'll see if that does happen. And also keep in mind the bonus points here. I don't think they're going to be able to overcome the Jacksonville Jaguars in the AFC South to win that division. But quite frankly, they are on a pace where if Jacksonville falters, they got a big football game this weekend. Can you imagine what we'd be taking a look at with D'Amico Ryans as the head coach and C.J. Stroud as a young quarterback there, the damage they can do in year number one? That would be absolutely incredible. And you would get some bonus points for doing that. But just being the offensive rookie of the year, it's a runaway right now for sure here for Stroud.
Absolutely so. So, Donnie, when you look at C.J. Stroud, he already holds three rookie records. The most passing yards in a game, 470, as we saw just this past weekend in the come-from-behind effort against Tampa Bay. Also threw for 5 passing scores in that game, tied for a rookie record. He is one of three NFL QBs ever, it doesn't matter rookie or not, to throw for 475 touchdowns and 0 INTs in a single NFL game. And of course, the career record to start off his rookie campaign, 186 passing attempts without throwing an INT. That is the most ever for any rookie quarterback. Defensive rookie of the year time, Donnie. And there's also a hefty odds on favorite, minus 320. It's Jalen Carter. Donnie, that's the answer for the Philadelphia Eagles. There's no doubt about it. But if you allow me to play devil's advocate, I look at the other team in the Commonwealth. Joey Porter Jr., the quarterback selected out of Penn State in the second round in 2023 to join his father's franchise. Of course, we know Joey Porter Sr., was a Super Bowl champion in Pittsburgh. Joey Porter Jr., though, Johnny, has only started 2 games now for Pittsburgh. He made his first career start last week again, or 2 weeks ago against the Jaguars, and of course got the start on Thursday night against the Titans. He has played, though, a ton throughout this year, Donnie, in terms of his role on this Steelers defense. But now he is the full-time starter moving forward. He erases people. He, in that first start, Donnie, against the Jaguars, he was targeted 4 times, only allowed 2 receptions for 20 yards. He is one of the highest 5-rated rookies on either side of the football by PFF. He's 40-1 to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. I don't think he's going to do it. I want to give some love to my man Devin Witherspoon as well on the Defensive Rookie of the Year award list behind Jalen Carter, I don't think he's going to win it. Jalen Carter is going to win this award, Donnie, unless something seismic happens in the second half. But just wanted to keep an eye on those two defensive backs out of the Big Ten. Joey Porter Jr. for the Steelers, Devin Witherspoon for the Seahawks.
Yeah, no, these cornerbacks are really good here, but it's one of those where sometimes you get a lot of hype to start the season on Jalen Carter, which means that when he was drafted, the Eagles thought they might have got the best and most talented player overall in the draft. Then the flashes in the preseason, like having one snap and getting a sack against the Baltimore Ravens. Then those early season breakdowns that we see on just about every network of how dominant he can be. He's held up his end of the bargain. There's still a half season to go, which again, injuries can factor into this. Poor play can factor in this. Keep in mind, they are rookies here, but right now, the midway point for me, it's Jalen Carter. He's been not one of the best rookie defensive tackles, one of the best defensive tackles in football.
And Donnie, sometimes when you look at defensive rookie of the year or even DPOY, edge rushers get all the shine because they're the guys getting after the quarterback. I mean, you could look at Micah Parsons, who won defensive rookie of the year, now a co-favorite to win defensive player of the year, plus 190, alongside Myles Garrett, who plays everywhere on the D-line for the Browns, but TJ Watt, an edge rusher as well. They're the guys that get after the quarterback. So as a defensive tackle, as a guy that plays on the interior, you might not put up the same stats as those guys out on the edge, but it's very clear when you watch a football game, the type of havoc Jalen Carter causes, the type of havoc Aaron Donald can bring that wrecks an offensive game plan, the type of havoc that Chris Jones can bring, who, by the way, finished top five in the NFL in sacks last year. That's crazy for a defensive tackle. That is what Jalen Carter is doing right now. He is bringing havoc to an offensive game plan because if you can provide a rush in the interior, you throw the entire offensive scheme out of whack.
Yes, certainly do, and that's the way you have to approach things. You have to be a disruptor, and certainly if you want to win some of these awards, you have to be an elite disruptor in those moments. So I agree with you on that.
And Donnie, that's the point as well, right? Because this is narrative. Writers don't need to be like, well, Jalen Carter had 5.5 sacks as compared. No, they're just going to say, did you watch the game? Did you see what Jalen Carter meant to this Eagles defense in his rookie campaign? Yeah, we all know why Jalen Carter slid in the 2023 NFL draft. Reckless driving charges back in Athens, Georgia that unfortunately resulted in the death of one of his former Georgia teammates and a Georgia football staffer. It pulled him away from the scouting combine in Indianapolis and had some of those off-the-field issues and the questions of his character, but those misdemeanor charges were eventually dropped, and Jalen Carter, of course, moved into the top 10 of this NFL draft in 2023. Donnie, there was never a question of the talent that Jalen Carter brought. He was seen by many as the best overall prospect in the 2023 NFL draft class. There were some issues off the field that had to be taken care of and some questions of what it would mean for an organization to select Jalen Carter. All right, Coach of the Year award odds, Donnie. I'm looking at Dan Campbell, plus 210 for the head coach of the Detroit Lions. And the reason is very simple, Donnie. To win this award, to win Coach of the Year, you need to lead your team to the postseason. If the Lions, for the first time in three decades, win the NFC North, win a divisional crown in the National Football League, and win a playoff game in that second weekend of January when they host in the Motor City, Dan Campbell will wrap up the award right then, right there, Donnie.
And look, I'm just going to counter some of these. I expected Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions to be in first place. And then also, as a whole, this is the most odd market you could possibly have because it's like the MVP. Hey, who's the best player in the league? It's Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, but I don't think he can win the MVP. Like, that doesn't make sense here. So why would you knock Andy Reid? Andy Reid's 60-1. If you had to pick one coach right now to coach your football team, who would it be? It'd be Andy Reid, but he's down at 60-1 as the actual coach of the year. So you have to take some of these with a grain of salt. I look at it saying, on a football team, I didn't expect to have an impact on this season. DeMeco Ryans for me at a 4-1 price, they're having an impact. I thought they might win, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 games max. Now it looks like they might be in the hunt possibly for a chance to win a division championship and maybe make a wild card. But also, Mike McDaniel to plus 450. This just goes to show you how if you're funny, engaging, and people like you, they will bet on you here. He's 6-3 at this point with 3 losses to anytime he stepped up in competition, they got filleted like a flounder on a national stage. But yet he's 3rd in line. Stop this. Just stop.
Donnie, D'Amico Ryans makes so much sense. The only issue is six of the past winners of the NFL Coach of the Year award, of the six, I should say, three were a rookie head coach. You get some benefit as a rookie head coach because you start your organization afresh, but all three of those guys led their teams to the playoffs. D'Amico Ryans would need to lead the Texans in there to win this award. More TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live right here to end out this opening hour of a Wednesday on the early line on Sports Grid. And listen, I'm not sure how Donnie Wrightside does it, but he is the best handicapper that I know, because if you remember bye yesterday, our best bets of the day, Donnie was setting up the Big Five Classic between LaSalle and Drexel in Philadelphia, the five schools that play within the city limits of the city of brotherly love, a rivalry of sorts. Donnie started to talk about it because it was one of the first games up on the board yesterday in men's college basketball. And as he's breaking it down, you can see the moment that Donnie has no idea what he's going to say next. And just says, I don't know anything about either of these teams, but LaSalle's going to win outright as a 2.5-point underdog. And what does LaSalle do? Wins outright by 6, 67-61 as a 2.5-point underdog. Donnie, the stage is yours.
Yeah, the Explorer is an absolutely dominant basketball program here within the city limits of Philadelphia, which actually is not the case. But Fran Dunphy, some people might remember that name, longtime coach at Penn, brought them into the NCAA tournament multiple times, and also longtime coach at Temple University, switches over there to help out a LaSalle program. They're 1-0 in the season. And also, it's a big game for Drexel more than LaSalle. Like, LaSalle is actually in the Big Five. Drexel is technically in the Big Six, trying to say, hey, if we could do some damage. And by the way, this is the Big Five Classic they're playing in, which is really cool, where all the city teams are going to play each other and come up with a victory or a championship game, I believe, at the Wells Fargo Center a little bit later in the season. But Drexel, if you want to get into the Big Five, you got to beat some of the Big Five. Tough loss for the Dragons last night.
So what are the Big Five, Donnie? Is it LaSalle?
Villanova's in there. Yep.
Temple?
It's
Penn?
Yes. And then you go outside the
St. Joe's,
because Villanova's the fifth. St. Joe's is the other team there. Drexel is trying. Yeah. And they technically should be included in that, but it's hard.
Right,
like, the Big Five is so classic in Philadelphia. It's hard to just add a six there. But if Drexel can beat their way into that top five, then maybe you got to let them in here.
Yeah, come on, Dragons. Win and cover as a 2.5-point favorite. How about Jameer Brickus? Not a great name, but had 18 points yesterday to pace LaSalle. Hour two, 55 seconds away.